Aaron Portsline joins us once again. Aaron, how are you?
Good. What's that English pub in Old Strathcona?
The Elephant and Castle?
Yeah, I've stumbled in and out of there a couple times.
Yeah, well, you know where you go is you go to the Druid Irish pub downtown for soccer. It's bananas right now. Yeah, in the United States, there's a huge amount of soccer fans too. Like, I know, like, maybe born and bred Americans don't love it, but there's a lot of people that are huge soccer fans in North America.
Well, and you know, I was just talking to a guy at work who's a big soccer fan too. It feels a lot different now than it did even in '98 when the World Cup was here. There's a lot more people who follow, and I suppose that the Major League Soccer has a lot that takes a lot of credit and should. But there's a lot of EPL fans now, I've noticed. I don't know why that is, but it's definitely grown. People have teams now.
Yeah. Last summer, the Blue Jackets, of course, were one of the big players in free agency because they went out and grabbed Nathan Horton. This year, I'm guessing the big talk in Columbus is going to be, what kind of contract extension is Ryan Johansson getting? Is he going to get a Jordan Eberle-type deal, $6 million over 6 years, do you think?
You know, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think they're there yet with him. I'd like to see what Eberle's first 3 years were like, because I think they were certainly more consistent than Johansson's. This is a tough one to peg, because Johansson did virtually nothing his first two seasons, and then last year, kaboom. It's a hard one to peg, and certainly the agent and the player are going to say, I'm a 30-goal guy, and look at the promise of my future here. The team's going to say, you know, geez, look at the breadth of your 3 years here. It took a while to get going. We're not sure you're fully 100% engaged out of the woods in that respect just yet. I think this one could go on a bit, could go on a while. I think there's been a little bit of discussion so far, but I don't think they're anywhere near anything. And this is a tough one for me to peg, but I think the club wants 3 years, 2 or 3 years, which would leave him, even if it's 3 years, with 1 year of restricted free agency on the other end. That's where I think the term is probably going to end up.
Yeah, it's different because, you know, Eberle actually signed his extension after only two seasons. And in his second year, he had scored 34 goals, 76 points. Johansson had 33 and 63. And I know, obviously, he's a few years younger. So I just use that one because, you know, you wonder if they want to go with the bridge contract and wait, which I still believe is always in the best interest of the team. Because if the guy ends up being worth $7 million later, the team's more than willing to pay young guys who have earned a contract, right? Way more willing to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing here, and I touched on a little bit, but just 1 year ago, Ryan Johansson was a healthy scratch in an AHL playoff game because they didn't feel like he was playing hard enough, motivated enough. Last year was a really pleasant surprise for them. It's what they had waited for, hoped for. But, you know, there's a desire with this contract to keep a carrot in front of his nose and maybe a boot somewhere behind him, if you know what I mean. Not a bad kid at all, and I don't give you that impression, but there are guys who have high motors, and there are guys who have to be revved up, and they've worked hard to keep him revved up, and I don't think they're done with that yet, or I don't think they feel like they're done with that yet, so there is a little concern with the long-term contract.
Yeah, Aaron, like Gregor said, I think the way it could go, or maybe should go, is the bridge route. If you get a couple of years, he's going to get a nice raise. There's recognition there. A kid like Neil Yakupov might be headed down that way himself. His rookie season in the shortened season, he finished terrifically, looked very good, lots of buzz. Last year, not so much, looked lost at times under Dallas Eakins. He's still a young player, and if you offer him a couple of years and a nice raise, I don't know the kid, but is your take that he'd be offended by that, or that his agent, that this would cause a problem?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I think the money's going to have to be right. Ultimately, that's really what players care about. I can't imagine being offended by a 3-year offer, right? I mean, maybe a 1-year deal, you kind of go, wow, is it really that big of a question mark to you? But to me, 3 years, and I think he's going to end up somewhere in the upper 4s and 5 range. I think everybody realizes that. It's just a matter of how long they want to go. And of course, if you're the agent in this situation, you're okay going back July 1st or past July 1st. That's leverage. You know, you better believe that there's going to be teams interested in talking to Johansson and his agent about an offer sheet. That's wonderful leverage if you're the agent and the player. The team has said the total non-issue, as they all say, is they'll match any offer, and that's fine. I'll take them at their word. It's still a really expensive way to do business because these offer sheets are written in a way that are, make them very difficult to match.
Yeah, and the other, to me, I've never bought the being offended. Oh, by the way, we're offering you $3 or $4 million the next few years. To be offended by that, I'm offended by anybody who thinks they should be offended. Like, that's a joke. Like, you know what? It's the NHL. Do what PK Subban did. All right, you want me to prove it? Fine, I'll go out and prove it. I'll win a Norris Trophy. Then I'll score a lot of points the following year, help our team go to the Eastern Conference Final. Fine. Now I'm going to get my big money. That's right. To me, how it should be. What about on the back end? Because Columbus, I think, you know, obviously they'd like some more scoring. You've got Ryan Johansson. Horton will be healthy next year. You know, we've heard RJ Umberger. Has he asked for a trade out, Aaron? Can you confirm that?
Yes, he has.
Okay. Who are some likely destinations, and how much does he have left in the tank?
Well, that is the question. I actually thought he played pretty well last year, and I liked him better last year than the year before. I thought some of the healthy scratches late in the season were perplexing because he's not what he was when he was 25 years old. He's a 20-goal scorer now instead of maybe a 26 to 30-goal scorer. I think for certain teams, he's the right fit. He's a guy who will take a beating in front of the net and score ugly goals. He's got 3 years left at 4.6 as a salary cap hit. That's heavy. So they're going to have to either eat some of that salary on the way out the door or take back a contract that they're not excited to take, or at least some money that matches it or exceeds it. This is a tough fit, and I have to say this. RJ Umberger asking for a trade is fine. I don't think it took RJ Umberger asking for a trade for that thought to enter the Blue Jackets hockey operations mind. I think that's something they would have considered or even desired. He's not a fleet skater anymore. He never was, and he's not getting faster. An issue here, too, is on June 15th, he can give the Blue Jackets a list of up to 10 teams to which he will not be traded. He will not approve a trade. So it becomes a limited no trade. That leaves as many as 19 teams that he could be traded to. I'm sorry, as few as 19 teams. I'm not privy to that list, of course, if the team even has it at this point. That does make it a little bit easier to move him, but I think they're going to have to get creative with this one.
Any chance they would compliance buy him out?
I think if it came to that, they might. I mean, that is not, for a guy with 3 years left on his contract, be about $1.5 million for the next 6 years. That's not a small market way of doing business. And I it's easy for the Rangers, the Flyers, Bruins, these guys, to buy out teams at that kind of money because it's play money to them. But if a guy is scoring 18 to 20 goals a year, I'm not buying him out and paying him $1.5 million to not play for 6 years. That seems extremely wasteful. And I still think if Scott Gomez could get traded, if Ruutu was traded last year, now they'd eat some of that salary. But you've seen bad contracts traded before. People like to say, I'll never move that contract. And a lot of times they end up moving it. They just have to be creative and be willing to take something back.
Yeah, Aaron. Well, Sean Horkoff in this neck of the woods comes to mind. Tell me this, though. As usual in Edmonton, because of our rabid fan base, whenever there's word a player comes open, be an $8 million player or a rookie with promise, would he fit here? The fan base wants to know. Now, with Umberger, you know him as well as anybody. We know he's probably not going to get better as a player. Might he bounce back a little? Sure. But he's at least plateaued, and he's at an age where maybe he's in decline. But is there any value added with RJ Umberger? In other words, how are his work habits? How might he affect young players in the dressing room? Does he set an example? Because I tell you what, as worn out as Ryan Smith was in a lot of ways, he still did certain things that added value.
Yeah, and I think Ryan Smith would be rightfully considered a leader more than Umberger is. Umberger's not a bad guy. He tends to be introverted at times. When things go bad, they tend to compound themselves. I think he's gotten over that a little bit. He is an extremely hard worker on the ice and off the ice. Mm-hmm. Will take a beating, will score those Ryan Smith-type goals down low. That's where most of them come from. And you know what the other thing is? Look at this guy's playoff track record. He was their best, Columbus's best player the first time they made the playoffs in 09. He was pretty dang good and had a huge play for them in game four that led to Foligno's overtime winner. He is a battler. It's an overused term, but the guy does perform in warrior-type moments as one of those guys where he will strap it on and leave everything out on the ice. To me, Edmonton does make a lot of sense. Do they want to move Gagne? If Columbus ate some of Umberger's contract, is that a possible fit? I think Gagne's got 2 years left. At
4.8. Yeah, 4.8.
Yeah, I don't think that's a crazy idea, but I do think Columbus would have to either sweeten the pot heading Edmonton's way or take something back. The other thing, too, is let's be honest here. I don't know that Umberger, who's from Pittsburgh, is a very, very much a Midwestern USA type of guy. I don't know that he would have teams from out west on his list. I don't know if he had Edmonton on his list of approved destinations, but again, I don't know the list.
Yeah, to me, I would love it, and I know it'll never happen. If a player asks for a trade, his list is thrown out now. If you ask for a trade, you're that unhappy, then see you later. Yep. I'd love to see that.
It was particularly galling about the Rick Nash trade when he demanded to be traded and gave him a list of about six teams. Like, do you want out or not?
Well, trust me, losing Rick Nash will not hurt the Columbus Blue Jackets because when they're in the playoffs, there is no performance from Rick Nash. He's Aaron, I've always said it. I thought Rick Nash was the most overpaid guy in the NHL. He's just never been a big point producer. He had a few 40-goal seasons, I know. Never scored 80 points. He's not even a half a point a game player in the playoffs.
Well, what amazes me about this situation is he has ended up exactly where he did not want to be, even though he thought that's where he wanted to be. He's now in a situation. Gabrick is gone. Richards is probably going to be bought out. All eyes are on him. He went to New York to get away from that, to be the backup singer for the first time in his career. And now he's on an even bigger stage, and he's expected to be the star performer. I don't think this situation in New York is going to end particularly well.
I would agree with you. Quickly, Aaron, any idea, Jackets, do you think they're looking at a forward or a defenseman in the draft?
You know, where they're picking, they're in clear best player available mode, and I don't think they're expecting immediate help for next season.
No.
With Jarmo Kekäläinen, you can always expect to expand the boundaries to a player from Europe is just as likely as one from North America.
And one other one, UFA, people in Edmonton have rumored Nikita Nikitin. I know him and Nick Schultz were kind of rotating at times in and out of the press box. What's your thoughts on is Nikitin basically a third-pairing defenseman? Does he have the potential to go back to being a second-pairing D-man in your mind?
I think he does, and he's a sporadic-type player. There are times where he'll let loose a one-timer, and you can't believe that was Nikita Nikitin because he's got a pretty darn good one. I think he's definitely moving on. He's looking for top-four money and a top-four role, and he's not going to get that in Columbus. So he is going to be available July 1st. I like the player. The player, for me, is inconsistent and hasn't quite defined himself. He tries to be a skating defenseman sometimes at inopportune times. He's not a particularly quick guy. Not perfectly positionally sound, but there are times he can go long stretches where he plays really well, very competitive, very physical type player, but he's sporadic. He's in and out.
Aaron, always great to talk to you, man. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.